Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor Wanda is here, okay, and
Well, before we get started, let's play a couple songs here to get us in the mood, okay, for what the blessed message Pastor Juan is going to deliver to us tonight. We're going to play a song here called Made Away by Travis Green.
Not knowing how we'll get through this. Highly favored. How are you doing, Pastor?
I am blessed and highly favored as well.
Amen. Good evening, women of God, daughters of the King. We have a great message in the Word tonight on rejection. We are looking at a biblical principle of rejection, when people and things reject you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You didn't pray to Pastor?
Yes, I surely did.
All right. I hope everyone had an awesome time on this Memorial Day. And I thank God that you're here. And we're going to have a great time with this message. And it's a two-part. All right. Rejection. You know, all of us have had rejection. And to deal with rejection, some people get hatred, anger. A lot of things come behind rejection, but we're going to look at it in a biblical principle. Amen?
Amen.
Rejection is the toughest at any age, even babies cry when rejected. God made each and every one of us the innate desire to be loved, accepted just as we are. Yet we live in a fallen world where sin is rapid. People hurt flying arrows of rejection at their family members, coworkers, their peers, without even realizing the depths of the damage that reaches throughout generations. How can you overcome rejection that simmers at the core of your being? Our first step toward healing will begin with rejection. Any thought, words, or action that run contrary to the Word of God. It's faith. By faith, we accept that God's word is true and everything must be held to the fire of truth. Amen?
Amen.
Accepting the truth that God made you beautiful. God made you beautiful. I don't care if you have any deformity, God, you still is beautiful. I don't care what man, woman, family, member, anybody. Now, we're going to look at what God said. Let's go to Psalm 139:4. Okay? I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I hope everybody got the Bibles and paper and pen to write this down, because sometimes you have to encourage yourself and knowing what God said. Every human being was formed by the finger of God, regardless of their race, color, creed, or their culture. Many people are born into this world where there are immediately rejection based on their appearance, intellect, or family genetics. However, in the eyes of the Lord, eyes of God, we are all beautiful. The Lord knew each and every one of us while we were still in our mother's womb. Rejection has no root in our heart if we accept it. The truth that God tells us, wonderful mate, there is a beauty that comes rated from a child of God who is completely convinced through the Holy Spirit of their beauty through Christ. Our beauty is through Christ. Now, a lot of people look at how a person looks. If you look at models and different stuff, and I want to desire to be, no, be who God created you. See, the heart, that's what God looks at. A lot of people fail to realize God looks at the heart. Okay? Man looks at out, but God looks at the heart. God looks at what he created. You are created in the image of God. When you go to Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, we are made in God's image. It's not about all the beauty. That is really in vain, because a lot of people are putting their looks to get places, and when they get rejected, but I'm beautiful. I heard a person say that. I look like this, and I look like this. No. Well, God wants you to look just like him, and you're made like him, but it's a lot of vanity with certain people because they think their looks can get you what they want. So let's go to the next one. You want to have the Holy Spirit of their beauty through Christ. We want the beauty through Christ. Amen? All right. Accept the truth of God created you for a special purpose. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. If you don't know what your purpose, you're going to ask God. But this is what he tells us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. Jeremiah 29:11. The culture is pushing every generation toward feeling of belief of nothingness. It is easy to fall prey to a world of randomness without a God connection to Jesus Christ. God has a plan for each and every one of us in his kingdom through the presence and fill us with the Holy Spirit. We can trust in his leading us toward the right plan for our life. It takes effort on our part to diligently search the scripture, pray for God's guidance. There is no task too difficult, nor mountain too high, for those who compel to live for their lives in the purpose and plan of God. Amen?
Amen?
Accept the truth that God doesn't have favor. God does not show favoritism. Amen? I'm going to show you something. A lot of people come up, but I don't know why this person, God don't have favoritism. All right, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God. Now, a lot of families, well, this is my favorite. God, when you look in the eyes of what God said, that's flesh talking. But let's look what the Spirit of a living God said. Romans 2:11. For God does not show favoritism. As a loving and perfect Heavenly Father, he knows how to love each and every one of us. If there were only one of us, he'll love us completely even when we fail him. Unlike a parent or a coach or a teacher, he does not keep choice and based on their bunch. Wait a minute. Bunch based on a physical appearance, athletic abilities, or intellect, greatness. Rather, God looks at the heart. There we go again. God looks at the heart of every man, woman, and child. He knows the thought and even the intention of our heart, even if we don't. Every person who comes to him won't be rejected. but embrace into the arms of the safety and acceptance. Let's look at the acceptance of the truth that God can heal our hurting past.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalm 147 and 3. Now, this is all God, what God is doing. God can only heal. You can go from one thing to another, but you want God to heal. And God said in Psalm 114, 7 and 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. He didn't say he put a band-aid. He binds it up. He takes care of. That's what the shepherd does. Okay? How many adults who walk around every day carrying their physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds of a childhood? It is not God's will for us to hold on the burdens of our past while attempting to walk in the light. Through spiritual surgery, the Holy Spirit moves into the cracks and crevices of our heart to remove any lingering, unuseful word or action of rejection. His love endures and powerful enough to bring complete healing for a renewing, vibrant life in Christ. The scars of memories may remain. However, their potential and pain is significant, reduced to ashes when God heals. And we forgive those who have hurt us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at accepting the truth that God can use our hurt to help others. You know, God uses everything. There's nothing wasted with God, nothing. Not our hairs, our tears, our hurt, nothing go to waste in God's eyes. God used everything for his glory. Amen? Now.
Amen.
Okay, and let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So I'm bringing everything line upon line, and then we're going to read the word. Okay, man, the word is first, and I'll break it down. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Therefore, encourage one another to build each other up. You know, when you give a testimony, I'm going to bring Revelation 12:11. It said by the words, by the blood of the Lamb, okay, and the word of your testimony, by that blood and heal you, delivered you, restored you, resurrect you, everything through the blood. And then when you give the testimony, that's the help of somebody else. Now, that is encourage others that if God did that for them, they could do it for me. That's what the testimonies are. But now we're going to look at first one. Therefore, encourage one another. It didn't say kill one another. Okay? It said encourage. Okay? The Lord never heals us of rejection. Wait a minute. The Lord never heals us of rejection just for ourselves. Okay? Now, I was rejected by many people, but God used me now for all the people, anybody that went through anything. I was rejected as a child myself. But when I look back now, I'm accepted with Christ. I don't think I'm better than nobody. I don't reject anybody because I went through that stage. You understand? So when God brought me through that rejection, because when he gave me the word, many people rejected. Now, I'm going to give you some examples. Okay? Now, we heard about the coaches and teachers and families. Now, I'm going to go to the deep and core. Now, when God allows me to go out and minister, or when I was at the ministry, you know, people came in smelling. Some people reject somebody because of their smell. It ain't all about looks. Some reject because somebody's homeless. Some reject because they don't have what they have. Okay? It's a whole bunch we can look at. And in the eyesight of God, God, he loves everyone. Okay, he loves the homeless. He loves the one that lost their limb because I've seen many people, well, I don't want them to touch me. And I kind of sat there. The Lord showed me as I was in the hospital. He taught me I wasn't sick or anything. I could have feelings like I'm sick, and he would send me. And that's the only way I'm going to go. But let me tell you this. The Lord had me to go to the hospital. Blood pressure 250 over 100 something, 109. Never went up that high. And that most times people that had strokes or stroke. Okay, but the more of the story and the testimony, he sought me because one of his children were eating at the trash can, and everybody was eating in front of him, but the man was homeless, and it was real cold outside. It was about 10 degrees down in Atlanta. And I'm like, he had me with his bag. I take snacks to when I go because different people, so I don't have them eating. in the doctor's office, or if I'm at the pain clinic, or I get to minister, okay, or they say I'm hungry. But this time God had me in the bag. I pulled up and I see all the nurses, they was eating. And it irks me. I can't stand to see a child of God, nobody eating at the trash can after somebody else been told in don't know how long. And it bothers me. It really bothers me. But the God I serve, he had me with a bag of stuff. I said, you don't have to eat at the trash can. He said, man, but nobody won't give me nothing to eat. That's the God already sent me. He said, I had prayed and asked God. I was hungry, but he went to the trash can. But then I had to tell him, hold up. But they had me in the wheelchair, hold up. I got stuff for you. You don't have to eat that. And, you know, God, he wants us to be there with discernment. Discernment is another form of, you'll see when God, certain people are rejected by somebody, won't give them something to eat. Even with the children, some things went on. But when we get, let's get back to the story. But God, he'll use that rejection to help somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The Lord, he never heals our rejection just for ourselves. It is our duty to reach out to the hurting people around us and share how we have been healed. Just like that's what God had did for me. When I was rejected, played on the streets, when a child. But now he used me in a mighty way for his glory. It's not my glory. It's not nursing a pain. No, I thank God for bringing me through everything I've been through. He always been there. One of the greatest tragedy of our generation isn't the greatest many people feel rejected and left out, but rather there are so few of us share how we were rejected. Our faith becomes alive and activate when our gifts of the Spirit are used to build up the body of those in the kingdom of Christ aren't locked down by people's perspective. But rather, they are free to reach out without fear and help someone else out of their pit or rejection. Amen?
Amen.
Accepted, not rejected. All right, you ready? We accept it and not reject it. Whenever falls short of the truth, the scripture must be forsaken and not long carried in our heart. The very words and acts of rejection used against us is exactly what God used for his glory to reveal the finishing work at the cross. A lot of people reject Christ. You shine the light of Christ in freedom, despise the ugliness and the attitude of those who reject you. The beauty, peace, and love of God has no limit in our life. Our life of courageous believer who reject the lies of the world and embrace the truth with the acceptance of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We got some scriptures. We're going to take a break. And I'm going to give you 10 more scriptures. If you've been rejected, you have been accepted by Christ. It don't matter what people say. People don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. When you know who you are, and I'm going to give you scripture to know who you are. When people reject you, you're not rejected by the master. Amen?
Amen.
Let's take a break.
All right. Okay. Let's play a great, great song here called Wanna Be Happy by Kirk Franklin.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me, so I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing just till you understand.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you want to be happy? Wanna be happy, but if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing until you understand.
I'm talking to you and say,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You wanna be,
now, go ahead, Pastor.
I was going to say, do you want to be happy? Let Jesus take the wheel. Amen.
Amen. So now, I just told you if people reject you, the world reject you. But let's look at who was rejected before you. And it's a blessing that we've been rejected. Let's look at, I'm going to take you back to why you're rejected. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 53:3. What does it mean when Christ was despised and rejected of men? Amen. So if we look at, if we rejected, you know, if Christ were rejected, you're going to be rejected. So it's a great thing, but it's still for the glory. Everything that Jesus went through, the children of the kingdom of God have to go through. But we don't go through as much as Jesus, see? So let's look at it. The fourth sermon servant song in Isaiah prophesied that Jesus as a suffering servant of the Lord would be scorned. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one of whom people hid their faces, he was despised and held him in the lowest esteem. That's Isaiah 53:3. Amen. Jesus despised in a time of severe reason. To begin with, he was from Galilee in the area of Israel, often disrespected, and that's John 7:41-52. And from that town about which Israel would ask, can any good thing come from there? This John 1:46. He was a family of a meaner. Wait a minute, excuse me. Hold on, let me go back. He was from a family of a mere meaning. That's Luke 2:22-24. Jesus despised. Wait a minute, hold on. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let me get back. Jesus was despised in that he was hated by the Pharisees and Sadducees and others in the Jewish ruler class. Even though Jesus continued showed himself to be the Messiah, and the Pharisees and Sadducees refused to believe in him. That's in John 12:37-47. And they actively oppressed him. They even tried to kill or arrest Jesus multiple times during his earthly ministry. And that's Matthew 12:14-21-46. When you look through the Word of God, when you study what Jesus went through, then you understand why you went through it. That's what Jesus have taught me. I had to understand why did he go through all this. It's back to back. But it's all for God's glory. John said he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, and the world did not even recognize him. He came to the which was his own, but they did not receive him. That's John 1:10-11. Jesus was a light into this world, but everyone who does evil hated light and will not come to the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. That's John 3:20. The Jews who despise Jesus eventually gets the wrong involved trampling up charges against him and demanding him to subject to pain and a tortured death. That's Matthew 27:22-25. The callous Roman despised Jesus as a common criminal, marked, battered, spit on him, flogged him. And that's Matthew 27:27-30. And John 19:1. They mocked him, including dressed him in a purple robe, placed a crown of thorns on his head, and made a spectacle showing to give him honor. And it's John 19:2-3. Jesus, the cornerstone of the work of God, is doing through the world. But to those who did not believe, he was the stone that the builder rejected. Okay, he's the stone that the builders rejected. That's 1 Peter 2:7, cross reference, Psalm 118:22, and Matthew 21:42. Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah because he did not fit in their preceding idea of a warring king would be delivered to the political oppressors. When Pilate offered to release Jesus after the falling, the people rejected Jesus and shouted their acceptance of a criminal, not him. Give us Barnabas. That's John 18:40. Rejection of Christ was not limit to those who did not believe in him. At times, Jesus had a large following, but most of them eventually turned away. That's John 6:66. Many others would be public announce their belief in Jesus, and they did it secretly, even the disciples. That's John 3:1-2. He was betrayed by one of his own closest associates. That's That's Luke 22:21. And then you go to Psalms 41:9. Even at the end, when Jesus was being arrested, his disciples all forsaken him and fled for their life. That's Mark 14:27-15. You can go to Zechariah 3:7-13. And Psalm 38:10. Many people still today reject Jesus as their Savior and turn his offer for eternal life. And it's John 3:16. There are people who continue to despise the name of Jesus and seek to discredit what he has done. But in the very rejection he endured, Jesus proved salvation for all those who believe and who seek to follow himself. That's Luke 9:23 and 1 Peter 2:21. Our Lord suffered outside the city of the gate and to make people his holy through his own blood. Let us then go outside the camp bearing this disgrace he bore. Hebrews 13:12-13. When you look at what Jesus went through and endured, do you know we will go through the same thing, but not what Jesus went through? Rejection is a blessing. Pastor, let's do an altar call. If you've been rejected, you can come to Jesus. He will not reject you. God have not rejected you. So we'll do this altar call, and if this message ministers to you, we'd like you to come to the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. That is your Bible study. Pastor? Pastor Ken? I guess we have a, he had to step away, but for each and every one of you all, Pastor, we're trying to call an altar call right now. Pastor Ken.
Yes.
I ask if they enjoyed and would like to come into the kingdom of God. God have not rejected them. Jesus haven't. And that is our Bible study. We're doing an altar call in Jesus' name. So
okay.
I'm waiting on you, sir.
All righty. Well, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you have a chance to do so right now. All you have to simply do is say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And also, if you said that prayer, we'd like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487, and then press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and you can tell the world that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. All righty, Pastor Wanda. Okay?
All right, you all have a blessed and a prosperous night. I thank you, Pastor, will take the call. I don't take any calls anymore. But I thank God for you. You all have a blessed and a prosperous night. And you go forth in the power and the might of Jesus Christ. We love you, and God love you first, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Pastor Wanda. God bless you. All righty. Let's take some callers here. 111, you're on air. Hello?
For her to run off before anyone can ask a question is total bullshit.
Ken?
Don't let that bitch back on. I'm pissed off.
Well, she doesn't take callers. She, for some reason, I don't know why she doesn't take callers, okay? Because maybe they've been giving her a hard time, okay, in the past. So, okay, you can't get mad at her. Amen. Well, call in area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key and we can do some talking. Amen. All right. One, you're on the air.
Fuck off, Wanda.
Okay. Well, let's take another call there. 1-1.
Hello, good evening. This is Mike from the chat room.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and say hello, and I was hoping to speak with Pastor Wanda, but I see that, has she left?
Yeah, she doesn't take calls for some reason, because most callers give her a hard time.
Oh, okay. I actually had a legitimate question for her. I wanted to thank her for her outreach that she does with prison inmates and all of the community service that she does, and I wanted to thank her. And I actually had a couple questions for her, biblical questions, but that's unfortunate. I mean, if you get a chance to, if she comes back to the show next time, maybe you can have her at least stay on for 5 minutes. And if somebody's rude, she can say, shut it down, and you can hang up on them. But some of us have legitimate calls and do want to talk to her. And it's unfortunate that some of the prank callers have run her off. But I hope she'll come back and speak with at least some of us decent callers that don't have any ill will toward her. We like her and hope she'll take some calls. The show Father's House won't take any calls, and people get very angry about that. And what happens is then they start losing listeners. So I hope that doesn't happen here. I'm hoping Wanda will at least speak, you know, to a couple of us for 5 minutes or so before she leaves. But that's all I had, and I want to thank you for doing a show. And I know there's another guy named Tony Gibson who was wanting to call in. I hope he calls in later. And I look forward to hearing all the other callers as well. Thank you and have a great evening.
Well, thank you, Mike. God bless you. All right. Great call there. My kind. All right. 111, you're on here.
Wanda can suck my ass.
Johnny. Okay. Well, let's play some music here.
I'm walking outside, open door. I ain't looking back no more. See you later. See you later. I'm walking outside, open door. I ain't looking back no more. See you later. See you later. Tell Urban Meyer and the mayor, the new Ohio player. Got everybody going up in the T-bus with a new Arch City banger. OH, that's what they say when they ask where I'm from. Then they say I-O. Used to live up north on the Hudson, but east side is my home. Marlo knows I'm the artwork, that artwork to preserve since I was born looking lightly and first. Now I'm older and I think I'm a perfect mix. And mama, don't be nervous. I know you're wondering when I'm gonna worship. You know I still got the heart of a servant. I'm just making these rappers nervous. I know I'm perfect, no apostrophe, imperfect. Kevin taught me how to be a wordsmith. I hope he hit a home run on the first pitch. I know. School of
the new Christian Gray. Never stop learning. Cats that I sound like 50 days. This God-given talent was always a challenge of mine. Nobody can stop me. He gave me a ladder to climb. Yeah. I try to explain it, but really it's hard to define. I'll never conform to the way that they think I should shine. You know the funny thing is, I think they know me now. Running through my city, I think they know me now. Feel like it took forever, I think they know me now. My family rolling with me, need you to hold me down.
Thank you.
Amen. I was chasing me down by Israel and the New Breed and Ty Trebek. Amen. What a great song. Amen. All right. All right, let's take a call here. 101, you're on the air.
Wanda sucks.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, let's get into tonight's prophetic word. My father says today, let your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. Your enemies are being made your footstool. The promise is given being fulfilled beyond your expectations. The illegitimate authorities encroaching upon your life are being supplanted by my favor. This is your new base state of constituent of the kingdom, and your right standing and entitlement are of me. Others may object. Others may complain you haven't earned or shown yourself worthy, but it isn't about you, says God. I'm moving your life because of who I am and what I brought about on Calvary, and not the worthless works of man's alleged moral character or equality. So do not therefore answer again or try to vindicate yourself to those who will not rejoice when my favor overtakes you and immerses you into my goodness. Just hold your peace and know that I am in your vindication, and it matters not what the opinion of man is, for the price of Calvary paid it all. And the blood that was shed is a full entitlement to my goodness and my favor. And all that is needed for you to renew your mind to the face facts of the cross, and thereby enter in with a yielded and beating heart to be finished work of Calvary, thus affecting every area of your life for good and for blessing and benediction. Amen. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. All righty. All right. 111, you're on the air. Hello?
Kevin, this is Beauregard. How are you doing tonight?
How you doing?
I'm okay. Where did the chocolate-faced lady go?
She left a long time ago, Beauregard.
How come? Does she not like talking to people?
Well, no, she likes to just do her show and take off. Yeah, she's not very personable. Okay, she doesn't like to talk with folks, yeah. Okay, she does a lot of that during the day, dealing with people. She comes on the show to do her segment, and then she leaves.
Okay, well, I thought maybe, like, since she come on the show, she'd answer some questions, but I guess not.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe next time she will. Maybe I can't speak for her.
That would be great. She has a lot of fans here. We all listen to the show.
God bless you all, too. I appreciate you all listening to the show up there at the Galveston Old Folks Home.
Yeah, we're big fans of yours, and we enjoy the show. You do a great show. It's very godly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe some of my brothers and sisters from the Galveston Home would call in, but I don't know if you have any callers, sir.
Nobody pressed the one key at this moment. Not yet.
Okay.
We got one.
Okay.
We'll see who it is. 1-1, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Edgar.
Hey,
oh,
Edgar,
how you doing?
I'm doing great, Edgar.
This is Edgar.
It's Beauregard. Did you find your shoes?
I don't remember. I'm caught. I don't know. They're not on my feet now.
I found my underwear in the refrigerator again.
That'll give you a cold, beanbag.
Yeah, when I put them on, I thought I got frostbite on my pecker. You ever get frostbite on your pecker, Pastor?
No, I never did.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Oh. Well, okay.
But,
so how are you doing, Edgar? You doing good?
I think he fell down or something. Something happened to him. I think he might have to move himself. Eddie, are you okay, buddy? Okay. Oh, I don't know where he is, but I have a question. how do you feel about this rainbow month? They didn't used to have this when I was growing up. They didn't like the, they used to call them names, like faggot and other names, but now I guess it's good to be, to like pipe.
yeah. Okay. Yeah, Guys Rainbow Ministry, okay, is a gay ministry as well. Okay, we're here for everyone. Okay, we want to spread the message that you need to accept for Jesus Christ and be your Lord and Savior. Okay, and all that good stuff. 111, you're on the air.
Hi, can I speak to Tony G, please?
Tony G is not here.
Well, I'll take Tony F, then.
Tony F is not here.
Where's Tony F?
Yeah, I don't know. He's not here.
I thought he took over since Pastor Ken died.
No, Pastor
he
Ken
isn't?
Didn't die. I'm Pastor Ken.
No, you can't be. You're dead.
I'm not dead.
How do I
Wait,
know?
Wait, you're dead? Does that mean I'm dead? Shit.
I
Wait
read your obituary, sir. You are dead.
No, I'm not.
Hey, did you know we're all dead?
Oh,
this guy just called in.
So where is this Tony F?
In a living room.
Oh, he ain't even far from you. I thought he was doing his cornhole thing, the cornhole nation thing.
No.
Go get him.
He won't come in and talk.
It'd be cornhole in that little 15-year-old boy, Victor.
No.
Oh.
What is his plan for God Rainbow Ministry since Ken died? Is he taking it over?
No.
He isn't. See, I thought
no.
Before Ken died that he was trying to groom him to be the host because he had him on a couple of times.
Yeah, I've had Tony on quite a few times. He chooses not to come on anymore.
Who is this I? I said Ken had him on.
That's me, Ken, I.
So you're the fake Ken?
Wait, no,
so
I'm the real Ken.
confused on this whole can fisherman is dead. Now, I know there's a fake can fisherman. Is that you?
No, I'm the real can fisherman.
Ken, did you mute me?
No, I didn't mute you.
So, wait a minute. I think I got it, sir. I think there was a Ken that hosted the show previous. He passed away due to anal penetration from a Clydesdale. And this new Ken is the second host. Is that correct, sir?
No, I'm the real Ken, the real original Pastor Ken, the one and only Pastor Ken, okay? It's the fake Ken that died.
There's only one Pastor Ken in the entire world, and you're him? That's amazing.
Yep,
that's really amazing. We're talking to the real Pastor Ken, guys.
No, no, no. I heard that Ken died. They found a chicken bone up his ass.
Oh, no, no. Ken doesn't like chickens. I was told he likes horses. A fellow by the name of Dominguez.
Well, I think if he got a proper butt plug, he probably wouldn't have cut himself in his colon or something and bled out.
I think the horse cock destroyed his internal organs. Via the anal penetration.
Oh, is this an actual horse or Tony F. dressed as a horse? Because I heard he's tiny.
It's an actual horse down to place near downtown where I'm at. The Diamond Sea Stables is where Dominguez is currently residing.
Well, now let me ask this other Ken. Do you know the size of Tony F's cock?
Yeah.
And how big is it?
No, let's not talk about this.
Well, how do I know if this is you?
Because it's me. You got to believe me.
How big is Tony F's cock, then?
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, I think you're losing a lot of credibility right there.
Okay, let's take another call. Okay. 1-1, you're on
here. Okay, 1-1, you're on here. Okay. What the hell's going on? Echoes and shit.
I don't know. Take another call. 1-1, you're on here.
Look here, man. Look here, man. This is Leroy Jackson from the Bronx. And I'm calling in. Yeah, this is Leroy. I want to remind everybody about prostate cancer. And y'all need to get down to the doctor. Make sure you get your examinations. I went the other day, had my prostate examined, but I don't know if it went that good because when I left, I started thinking about it, and the doctor was behind me and had both of his hands on my shoulders, and I could feel him examining me, but I don't know what he was examining me with because both his hands were on my shoulders. But anyhow, y'all get your prostates checked. And Pastor Kent Hopper got a new dog, and he humped the neighbor's leg and bit one of the neighbors, and he's misbehaving. But we praying for him. Pray for that little humping dog. Okay, good night, Kenny.
Good night.
I think Pastor Jackson got anally fucked in his asshole. That's what it sounds like. You put two hands on his shoulders. It sounds like he got rammed.
Yep. Let's take another call. 1-1-1.
That's not proper love making. A man on man. That ain't proper.
1-1-1. You're on the air. Okay. 1-1-1, you're on here. Okay, try again.
Hey, Pastor Ken, I think a couple of retarded boys got a hold of the telephone again. Do an echo.
Yeah.
They do that retarded thing where they do the echo.
Let's try another one. 101, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
Why isn't he talking, Kenny? He ain't saying shit. Oh, my back. My back. My neck and my back. Ow.
Okay. I don't know. Let's try another caller. 101, you're on the air.
Yeah, you hung up on me.
I didn't hang up on you.
Hang up on him? He's a good caller, Ken.
I don't think that's very Christian of you.
I didn't hang up on you. You dropped.
How did I drop?
I don't know, but I didn't hang up on you.
Lord have mercy.
All right, look, I need to do some kind of test to see if you're the real Ken Fishman, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right. You got a resume online or something?
Do I got a what?
A resume. A biography.
Yeah.
Something I can test you with.
What do you want to know?
Do you have a LinkedIn account?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let me be here. Give me a second now. I'll pull up your bio. Where do the Ken Fishmen go to school?
St. Louis, Missouri.
For what?
That,
I need the name of the school.
That was grade school, middle school, and high school. And then I went to Mount St. Mary's College. Okay.
And where did you get your pastoral degree?
Mount St. Mary's College in Newburgh, New York.
Okay. Now, it says here your father was of a specific ethnicity, and your mother was of a specific. What ethnicity was that?
My mother was a Jewish woman, okay, and my father, okay, was Italian, okay, but he was in Cuba.
So you're Cuban.
Well, no, I'm Italian Jewish.
And let me see here. What did your father do in Cuba?
Like to play cards.
He was a gambler?
Yep.
Now it says here your dad ran a casino.
Yep.
And which casino was that?
I don't know. I don't remember. I was too young.
And who was the president of Cuba when your dad was there?
I don't know. I was too young.
You were alive in Cuba?
Yep. 101. 101, you're on
your
one,
you're on your one, you're
on your one, you're on your one, you're on your one, you're on your one, you're on your one,
can you imagine? Can you imagine if this is actually Leroy Jackson from the Bronx, man?
It is Leroy Jackson from the Bronx. How you doing, Pastor Leroy?
Well, let me say this, Pastor Ken. I haven't been on your show for quite a while. I'm glad your show is still going strong. I'm glad you're doing well. And I'm just going to sit on the side. I just wanted to come on and say hi to everybody. And I hope you are listening to my show with Pastor Kent, which is on at 5 p.m., five nights a week. And I'm glad that your show is going strong. You sound good. You sound good tonight, Pastor Kent.
Thank you. Thank you. You sound good, too.
Well, I appreciate that. You're the man that brought me on the radio 14 months ago. And since then, I've been blowing up, but I owe it all to you, man. So I'll sit on the side. I want to take some more calls. I don't want to interrupt the show, man.
Okay. Take it easy, Pastor Leroy. God bless you. Okay. 111, you're on the air. Okay. 111, you're on the air. Hello?
Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk.
All right. 506. You're on here.
Hello.
Hello.
Kenny.
Hello, Pastor Ken. How you doing?
I am doing great, Kenny. How did you know it was Dr. Rabbi, Priest, Butcher, Chef, Astronaut, Engineer, Architect, Electrician, Plumber, Carpenter, Welder, Deep Sea Diver, Baseball Player, Kent Douglas Hopper?
I know the area code 506.
Dildo manufacturer as well.
Yeah.
I'm a dildo manufacturer as well, Kenny.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Lexington Steel. You know what I'm talking about, eh?
Oh, yeah.
I was also a wearer of diapers, and I'm also an amateur hockey player, rugby player, football player, judo master, taekwondo, biker gang enforcer, dean of students at Mount St. Mary's, high diver, skydiver, pile driver, mechanical engineer, and Mountie, and state trooper, and jackhammer.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about the sexual position either, Kenny.
Okay. All right.
Kenny, I was also a recipient of a Kenny No Gum blowjob, and that was satisfying when I was your master and you were my apprentice. Do you remember those good old days, Kenny?
No.
You would bring me
no.
the coffee,
no.
and I would backhand you and slap
no,
the dog shit
never...
out of you. And I
no.
won.
Goodbye. All right. I'm going to say good night to everybody. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Okay. See you tomorrow night. We'll have Pastor Wanda again. Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
What the